Hey y'all, Stanley Ray, aka God's Idiot Abroad, coming to you from Malawi, Africa. Before we get started with today's show, I wanted to ask you, have you visited Full Quiver Farms down in Kemp, Texas yet? If you live in Central or Southwest Texas, you can find their fine products like fresh meats, creamy delicious cheeses and spreads, milk and other dairy products at Whole Foods, co-ops, or fine food and snack stores near you. Tell your favorite store to stock them if they ain't got the message yet. Or just stop by their place in Kemp, Texas. Mike, Debbie, and the family would be glad to see you. For all you far out folks, don't worry. You don't have to actually get in your car if you don't live in Texas. If you can't visit, you can check them out online at FullQuiverFarmsTX.com. That's FullQuiverFarmsTX.com. Cheers, mates, and welcome to God's Idiot Abroad Fireside Chats Friday. Imagine you're with me and Africa Pete here in Malawi. We've gone on an adventure and we're out in the bush, camping. Don't worry, the lions are sleeping and all the mosquitoes are dead. It's just us. We got some drinks, we're chilling around a fire, the fire smells nice, the stars are showing off, a sliver of moon is sitting just above the horizon, eavesdropping. We're just friends sitting around a fire out in the African bush, sharing stories, telling lies, and opening up. Welcome to Fireside Chats Friday. All right, let's get our fire going. You can almost smell it. Welcome back to season two, our first episode of Fireside Chat Friday for God's Idiot Abroad. We did about 15 shows in our first season and we're into season two. And this is Fireside Chat Friday. And I have a very special guest who has agreed to join around our fire today. Her name is Brandy Taylor. And just so glad to have her. Brandy and Almet, I'll tell you briefly, and then we'll talk about it in a couple of minutes in a little deeper detail. But Brandy and I actually met on a mission trip to Africa, to Malawi in 2016. And so, Brandy, welcome. I'm so glad you're here to share that experience and share a little bit about you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So tell us a little bit about, tell the folks a little bit about just you, like who is Brandy Taylor? Like, where'd you grow up? What about your family and education? I know you're, I believe you said your last year, your senior year online.
Weird. Yes.
But tell us a little bit about Brandy. Let us get to know you around the campfire here.
Okay. I don't know. It's always so hard for me to talk about myself because I'm like, I don't know who am I? But so again, I'm Brandy. I'm 21, so it's crazy. When Stan and I first met, I was 17, so it's been a really long time. Well, like 4 years, but still like a long time. And honestly, so growing up, I actually grew up in a couple different places, but I always tell people I grew up in Miami because we moved there 3 times. And by the time I was in high school, that's when we moved to Arkansas. So we live in Arkansas for quite a little bit now. It's actually the longest place we've ever lived at this point. But yeah, so I used to live in Michigan. I lived in Atlanta for a time. And then we moved to Arkansas. Like, we moved to Arkansas randomly. Well, not randomly, but when I was 12, we moved to Arkansas for the summer because of my dad's job. And then my mom and my 3 younger siblings, we moved back to Miami. And then my dad came back. And then after, like, maybe I want to say less than a year, it was over a year, about a year and a half later, then we moved to Arkansas. So it's always been a back and forth thing. In middle school, I was homeschooled, and I went to regular school. Like, I either went to charter or public school back and forth. Like, and then I went to a public high school, and I go to the U of A now as a business student. After changing my major a couple times, I'm now a finance major.
That happens to the best of us. How many majors have you had? Three? And so, what was the first? That's always interesting. Like, what the first one? Like, that's your idealism major. Like, I want to be this when I grow up, usually.
Yes. Yes. So, thankfully, I figured this out in 11th grade because I was going to go to school for medicine. I wanted to be a veterinarian. And then I had to get realistic and be like, you know, I hate blood. So, that wasn't going to work out. But I always wanted to start my own business. So I was thinking, you know, I'm a double major and get this. But when I first went to university, I was an economics major. So I don't know. I really liked economics at the time. And I was like, this is what I'm going to do. And then I changed to after like my first class, I was like, okay, I'm going to just change to entrepreneurship. Then I changed to accounting. And then for a bit, I was thinking, let me be accounting and finance. And then finally, I was like, you know what? I think finance is more for me. So I decided to stay with finance. And then my minor is in Chinese or Mandarin, the language.
Wow.
So
I think I remember that from our podcast discussion, we'll also talk about here in just a second, your podcast that you have going on with Salitha. But so you moved around quite a bit from down south all the way up north to kind of in the middle.
Yes.
You know, we've shared, I didn't know this, but I like Atlanta for a while, and that was crazy. I didn't necessarily love Atlanta, but I got to travel to a lot of different places. So we've shared that. And then Arkansas is currently where you call home and you lived for a time and then moved back there after a stint again in Miami. And you have three younger siblings.
Yes.
All sisters, or do you have a brother in there?
So my sister, it's my sister, and then it's my two younger brothers. My sister is actually graduating next year from high school when I graduate from college. So it'll just be the boys for my parents next year.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's, you know, nowadays, like, that's kind of a big family, you know?
Yeah.
Most people stop.
That's what people say.
One or two or none.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, and don't feel bad about changing your major so many times. I, at 43 or 44, I changed my life major in a big way, and that's how I ended up here. And so I still think, you know, a lot of times, maybe one day when I grow up, I'll do this.
Yes.
So that's your microcosm of university experience and changing your majors, or it's what you go through in life a lot. Like, oh. Mm-hmm. Maybe this. So you've landed on entrepreneurship, economics, and you're taking as a full, like a minor, right? What made you think to take that class?
So people always think it's really funny. I actually, when I was like 12, the Karate Kid movie came out with Jaden Smith, like Will Smith's son. And I was like, oh my gosh, like this culture looks so cool and everything. Cause I had never really like looked that deeply into China before. And that made me want to like research more. So then by the time I went to high school, I started taking classes. And I honestly think I learned a lot more in college than I did in high school for the language. But yeah, that was what kind of got me started. And now this semester will be my last Chinese class in Chinese business. So it's exciting. And I also thought it would be good to know another language. Like it was, for me, it was between Spanish and Chinese, but I had so much more of a I want to say passion. Yeah, just to like keep learning. So that's what made me really want to stick to it.
I'm going to put you on the spot. That's like, I really do like that story and love that you had a passion for it. But like, this will be simple, I hope. Can you say, "Hi, Stanley, my name is Brandy" in Mandarin?
Oh yeah. Okay. Ni hao, Stanley. Well, the means Brandy.
All right. Well, if we get some listeners that speak Mandarin, like, they're going to be able to say, "Hey, she was right on." You know, we're in almost 20, so you never know who's listening. That's awesome. I really find it. I find that so interesting. And here, learning Chichewa, you know, like, I'm taking lessons Chichewa right now, getting serious about it.
Oh, cool.
So I'm
Okay.
immersing myself more and more, as it looks like, if I can raise the funds, that I'll be able to stay for longer than I thought. And so, yeah, I'm all in, you know. And plus,
That's
like, I'm
awesome.
dating Tabitha. You know, she's from Chewa tribe, and makes fun of my Chewinglish, which is just Chewa in English. All the time. And so I'm going to surprise her, I hope, and just start speaking Chewa one day. But it's so interesting. Like, it teaches you so much about other cultures, and like, you've learned, you know, more about the Chinese culture and the people. And I just find that culture, like you, very fascinating. You know, think like politically or geopolitically, like, it's a fascinating people. And I just love to study other cultures. So, well, that's great.
Me too.
That's great. All right. Well, now we know a microcosm, just a little bit about you and a little bit about your history, which is fantastic. I'm going to ask you, like, what do you like to do? What do you like to do for fun besides study Mandarin and deal with numbers? Like, what do you like to do? Games? Do you chill, read? Like, what's your fun list look like?
I definitely like, we can't really do that anymore as much, but I love traveling. Like,
Yeah.
and honestly, when all this happened, I remember one of my friends was like, "Man, Brandy, this is the longest you've actually stayed here," because I'm always like going somewhere or traveling. So that kind of was, one of the things that had to be stopped. But I love traveling. I love writing. I love hanging out with my friends. Honestly, I just like being outside. Like, I'm a nature person, minus the bugs. And I know that's impossible, but I like doing everything outside. It's just I really don't like bugs. So if that was a thing where there could be no bugs, that would be great. But I know that's not a possibility.
You and I are
So.
on the same we're on the same boat there. So you go hiking, but let's get in before dusk. You go out adventuring, but probably not camping. And then traveling is obviously on a plane where there are streets and not so many dusty roads and bugs. All right. And what, like, are you writing? Do you write poetry? Do you just journal, or are you writing a book?
I just love writing in general. So I wrote a children's book when I was like 12.
Wow.
And then I self-published it when I was 17. And so I like writing. Either it could be a book or it could be a script for something, because I'm also into short films slash want to make a feature film one day, hopefully sometime soon. I just really like writing. I enjoy it. Like, I help people with their essays. I love writing so much. So.
That's fantastic. Not a lot of people do. Like, it takes a special talent to be able to do it, and then it takes a special mind to really, really, like, enjoy it, get therapy out of it, and get all of the things that you can out of writing. That's fantastic. So,
Thank
could I
you.
get your autograph? How can people buy your book? Is it on the bestseller list?
No, I mean, honestly, I really should have promoted it more. Honestly, I think it was more of a personal project for me. I was like, I want to get this out. I wrote this. let me get it out. But it's on Amazon if you guys want to look at it. It's called Meet Irene, and it's by Brandi Taylor. And yeah, so it's on Amazon, and you can order it there. I think it's, I want to say it's $1. So, because honestly, again, it was a very much so personal project for me where I just was like, I wrote this. Let me self-publish it. That's just kind of how I went about it.
How much did it cost to publish it and put it on Amazon, if you don't mind me asking?
So it was quite a while ago. I think the most expensive part, because the publishing that I did it through, the self-publishing I did it through, was, I think it was called Lulu something. I need to check that, but it was Lulu something. And the most expensive part was copywriting. And so copywriting was, I want to say $100. And for me, I was thinking, okay, it's a little bit much, but you know, 17-year-old me, I'm like, that's a little bit much, but I really wanted to do it. So it was kind of just like worth the expense. And you get like this, they'll send you like a paper that says, okay, you're officiated or whatever, that you're copyrighted. Yeah.
And so you need to sell, how many copies have you sold so far? Do you?
I honestly, I did not keep as much track as I should. I kind of just was like, okay, here's my book. And people bought it, but it was just like, I never really, what's it called? Counted by number, how many? Because again, I think it was also because I wasn't really trying to do anything competitive. It was more so just, I wrote a book, but I definitely want to write more. I do. And be more so like advertising. Hey, this is my book. You guys can buy it.
And it's called Meet Irene by Brandi Taylor.
Yes.
All right. Well, we need to sell at least 100 copies. So I feel good about you at least breaking even on this.
Oh, let's hope.
Let's hope. But hey, you know, if we sell a half a million, then that's pretty good too. All right. We'll help you. We'll help promote that. And I'll definitely look it up. That's fantastic. That's why we do these fireside chats. It's why we get into, like, this wasn't in the question list. This wasn't on the program agenda, so to speak. But how do you not ask? Like, you have somebody that's self-published a book and loves writing. And so you said earlier, you don't necessarily like talking about yourself and promoting yourself, which does make a lot of people uncomfortable. And so I want to help you out. And so let me help you. Help me help you, right?
I appreciate it.
Yeah, sure. All right. Man, I hate to stop right there, but I really have to take a break, if you know what I mean. So, excuse me, Brandi. I'm going to go take a break, and we'll be right back. But we'll fill it with a word from our sponsor, Anchor App. And we're back. All right, Brandi, let's get to know you a little bit better. I got a few more questions. Well, that's fantastic. So tell me just a little bit about your desire for the future. Like, I'm not going to ask you where you see yourself in 10 years, because, gosh, I hate that question. But, like, what's your passion in life? What if you know, I will ask this cliche question because I do like this question. Mm-hmm. Like, if you sold a million of these Meet Irene books, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, magical $1 million, like, what would you be doing if money were no object? Like, what's your passion and your desires for your future?
I would definitely want to have my own like production filmmaking company. Because honestly, everything I write it visually. So, I mean, I think most people kind of do that, but I always think of things as a movie when I write. So I think that would be a huge thing. Like, I would love to be able to invest in something like that. And I want to also use my finance capabilities to run in the background as well. But filmmaking, when I say filmmaking, I mean like directing and writing. I'm not much of a videographer or anything, but
you're like,
I know what I want.
Screenplay and scripts.
Yes.
Yeah. feel you on that. That's really cool. It really is cool. And believe it or not, like, I do have a really good movie idea that I want to try and sell you on. And really, like, I think you get it. And I think maybe we got something to work on together. That's really cool. Sure. I really like that. Like, as a creative, like, that gets my juices going too. And so it's cool that you know that at such a young age. And it's really cool that seems to be what your passion is, you know, like writing, creating, and telling stories and communicating. That's fantastic.
Thank you. It took a while, honestly. I was fighting my desire of what I actually wanted for a long time. And then quarantine let me sit and think a lot. So.
Yeah. And you guys, we'll talk a little bit about your podcast. You and Salitha, your friend, have a podcast, What I Wish I Knew. Just tell us briefly kind of how that came about and what that's about.
Yeah. So Stanley also, he actually was on. He was our first guest on our podcast. So it was really cool that he got to come on. So thank you again for that.
Yeah, my pleasure.
But Salitha and I, we actually, we met our freshman year of college in a competition, like a speech competition. And then we basically never really saw or talked to each other again. Like, we would see each other and kind of wave, but never like conversation. And then junior year, right before quarantine happened, and, you know, classes were all put online, Salitha has her own earring business, and I had like contacted her about one of her earrings, and then we started talking and we met up, and basically I had already wanted to start a podcast, and then I saw Salitha was down to like help, and I was like, okay. And Salitha is an extremely like incredibly hard worker, so I was like, this is somebody I want to partner with too, because I know it'll be a lot of effort on both ends instead of like, you know, a one-sided project. And it was honestly, we got to make one episode before our intro episode, right before quarantine happened. And then after that, we were like, we got to get this going. We got to keep going with this because we were both passionate about it. And it's been going strong. We're about to go on season 3 now. So it's been a long time. Well, not long, because we started in March. So 5 months, maybe.
Yeah. And these things do take, like, it takes some effort. And so, you know, it's not like, it seems like we're having an easy conversation. But when you go into editing and putting the things together and kind of jazzing things up, like, it really does take some work, creativity, and it comes from, you know, like, deep within. And so it's good you have a partner. It's good you guys met. And I love that story that you guys came together. You had one show, and then you were up and you're like, okay, one show together in the same place, like, all that energy, you know, and creativity, and you get the juices going, and you think, man, this is really cool. Let's get it going. And then COVID.
Boom. Yes.
And so tell us a little bit about that path now that you're separated. Like, everybody's in quarantine. You can't technically, back then especially, you know, like, you were, people were scared to be in the same place as another person.
Yes. It was definitely like, I won't even say it was a setback. It was just kind of like, we had to pivot in a way. So it was like, okay, we can't really meet each other anymore. And just like, we had to like hold each other accountable. I mean, we're both like, we want to do it. So it was never like, come on, like, you need to do this. It was more so like, okay, this is the day we're going to have this episode, and we need to have an episode by this time so we can edit and then have it out by this time. So it honestly was a smooth transition, I'd say. I think Salitha would say the same, but it was definitely a smooth transition. We do wish we had the studio, and I do hope that eventually we will be able to have a studio again. But as of now, it's been working pretty well with what we're doing, and the Anchor app is pretty good. I mean, Stan, you could say the same. Like, it's pretty good. So... It helps.
Yeah, it's I'm glad you guys introduced me to that. And it to me, I haven't tried another platform, but it hasn't made me want to. You know, it's pretty slick. And this is an unpaid promotion for Anchor App. But I mean, it's so you guys were in, and like you said, you had to pivot, you know, like a lot of people are, like some people are spinning in circles, they're pivoting so much. But that was a really good pivot. And I'll just tell people about that show. I had never done a podcast interview before. And, you know, we talked about a little bit about what we're going to talk about today, you know, the trip to Africa, you know, for the second half of the interview. But we talked about that and just my experience, and it was so comfortable, and you guys made it so much fun, and the way that it came off at the end production, I was just really happy with it. So I encourage everybody listening to check out What I Wish I Knew by Brandy and Salitha. It's fun, it's young, it's energetic, it covers all sorts of topics, including, you know, some of the unrest that's going on and you know, about the racial divide to, you know, what it's like to travel and, you know, several different topics. And they're all really interesting. I think I've listened to most of them. And they're all really interesting, and they're always entertaining. And you guys together are such a good team. So I'll give you a little plug there for sure.
Thank you. I appreciate it. We appreciate it. Speaking for both of us, we appreciate it.
It's a really good thing, and it has a really good energy. And I get off on good energy and positive vibes, even when we have to talk about, you know, tough things.
Yes.
You know, there's a way to do it. You guys got a good back and forth, like I said, and you have on good guests and very topical discussion. So all the best to you for that. And yeah, we'll kind of segue now, like, so into what the whole conversation was originally going to be about. We've had a good talk so far around the fire.
Yes.
So how Brandy and I met was, like I said before, on a mission trip to Africa, to Malawi.
Mm-hmm.
And so teamed up out of Northwest Arkansas and flew to Atlanta and then flew to Johannesburg. And just so everybody knows, Atlanta to Johannesburg, South Africa, is about it averages 15 hours, 14, maybe 15 hour flights. One of the longest flights in the world that you can take.
Yes.
And, oh yeah, it was my first time on a plane. I love flying. It was my first time on a plane ride that long. And, so that's how we met. And we spent 2 weeks roughly, probably 10 days in country, here in Malawi, Africa, where I currently still am. And riding around in a bus and staying in, you know, some questionable places, you know, and with 13 other people. I think our total team was 14 people.
Yes, I want to say it was 14.
Right. And so, you know, crammed into some places, crammed into some uncomfortable, you know, situations, going to villages and doing the mission team thing. So that's how we met. And I am very interested on your candid thoughts about that trip. And I've talked to a couple of people, and there may be some energy for a reunion trip in the next year or two.
You know, oh, really?
For that team, yeah. Like, people say they want to do it, but I'm interested. You and I haven't had a chance to really kind of unpack that and say, you know, this is how I felt then, and this is what I felt about it. And so, I first want to start out just from the beginning, if you don't mind, and just say, okay, like, I know how I got interested. We talked about that on the last, you know, when I did your podcast, What I Wish I Knew, but how did you get interested? How did you end up in that group that was coming to Malawi?
Yeah. So, my dad, he actually worked with, one of the head people over the mission trip. And he told me about it, and I was just kind of like, I had never really been outside of the country besides, I think, to Canada, but I honestly don't count that because I was maybe four. So it's not really that much of a recollection for me. But yeah, so I had never really been outside of the country. And he was just like, yeah, like, you know, he's doing this and I think you should really look into it. And so I was like, okay. And I honestly, at this point in my life, I was 17. So I was really trying to figure out like college applications and stuff. So I didn't really think, okay, this is what I'm going to do the summer before my senior year. And I met up with the coordinator and his wife. And I was just kind of like, okay, like they seem nice. And I was like, all right, that's cool. And I met them one other time after that. And I basically like after the first meeting, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. Like, I'm going to do this. And I met them one more time after that. And then next thing you know, I was on a plane. So it was pretty like it was very much so like my dad telling me. And I was just like, okay. And I honestly was really nervous.
Yeah. I want to say that you were probably, I want to say that you were the youngest, if not one of the youngest, if recollection serves me. And I, because we all worked at the same company. We all worked for J.B. Hunt. And I can imagine, I know the conversation now. It was kind of like, I'm sure it was kind of like, you know, what you said. At first, he's almost, maybe you should look into it. And then it was him telling you, like, hey, yeah, you need to go do that thing. You need to go do it.
Yes.
But taking that step, really getting on the plane, so you knew the couple, you and I hadn't met yet.
No. And,
right. And so you're on a plane with, at that point, I think 12 or 13 strangers going to a place that is 9,000 miles away from home, one of the poorest countries in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So,
yes.
Your first impressions of me so intrigued. Like, first, okay, we land in Joburg, like, we land in Atlanta, and you realize, I'm sure by then we pick up a couple of people, and then you realize, wow, this is a big team and a lot of people, a lot of luggage, and then a lot of crazy people. And so that's your last chance to turn around and come back. Like, did, at any point in between Northwest Arkansas and landing in Joburg, which we'll talk about here in a minute, did you think this was like halfway over the Atlantic? Were you like, let me out of the plane?
I think.
Wow. What a cliffhanger I have left you with. I apologize. We're having so much fun talking about this. It's turned into two parts. So we'll get to the second half here in just a little bit. Thank you so much for joining us around the fire. We've got the elephants around. We got some zebra, giraffes. We got a few monkeys. And now we're going to hear in part two, Brandi Taylor tell us whether or not she hijacked the plane and demanded in midair that it turn around. There's more to the story, so I'm sure that that didn't happen. I was there. I don't remember it. But stay tuned for part two of God's Idiot Abroad Fireside Chat Friday with Brandi Taylor and what happens next.